जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, delivered on the topic Impossible Mission of Srila Prabhupada, delivered on 1st of July 2016 in Atlanta.
Gopi Jana Balabha भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा।
Last year we celebrated the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada's departure from India on the Jaladuga. The next year is going to be another historical year. It's going to be the Golden Jubilee of the first Rath Yatra held in Sephardi. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that the holy name would be chanted in every town and village of the world. This prediction was made by the Lord 1,520 years ago. Our acharyas had full faith that this prediction will one day come true. Chakra Bhakti knows was a great acharya who re-established the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is described as the, who knows what he described as? The wonderful. The mercy incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, that is another name. Lord Shakti Surabhaya Rupanuga. He is described as the mercy incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is he who re-established the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had his great vision. And he prayed to the Lord, please may somebody come who can carry this movement forward. And in response to this prayer, the Lord sent Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is described as the ray of Vishnu. So, Thakur Bhaktivinoda never had any doubts that Lord Chaitanya's prediction will not come true. And he wrote a book on the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he published his book in 1896. 1896 is a significant award. So he wrote a book on the life of Lord Chaitanya. And he sent this book to universities around the world in 1896. I know that in Montreal, Canada, in McGill University, this book was still there in 1967. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote nearly 100 books. Most of the bhajans that we sing were composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gauradi Jayada Madhav Jasamadinanda. And he wrote nearly 100 books. And during the British rule, he was serving as a magistrate. Magistrate was the highest position an Indian could hold during the British rule. The Britishers were so impressed by his credibility, integrity and hard work that they put him in charge of the Jagannath Puri temple. Because at that time there were many irregularities taking place in the Jagannath Puri temple. So he was put in charge and he corrected everything. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who identified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's original birthplace, Chaitanya Thakur Bhaktivinoda, was never too comfortable with never having declared as the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had requested the British government to give him posting in Krishnanagar. And every weekend he would spend trying to discover the place where Thakur where Lord Chaitanya appeared. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great visionary, and he had predicted that a Maharathi would soon appear who would take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western countries. So Prabhupada was born in a very religious environment. His father was Gormonde, and Prabhupada was a middle class cloth merchant. He would regularly coach sadhus in his house. And when the sadhus would be leaving, he would say, "Please bless my son." And he becomes a great devotee of Sadhana. And Prabhupada's mother had a vision that my son may go to England and become an engineer or some highly educated personality. So from a young age, Prabhupada's father trained him up in Sanskrit. In Kirtan. So Prabhupada used to organize Rath Yatra at a young age. At the age of 7, he started organizing Rath Yatra. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is the successor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who established the Gaudiya Math, was also a great visionary and a pure devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established printing presses and called them Brihadmadangas. He had sent his sannyasi disciples to the Western countries, especially England and Germany. But unfortunately, he came back without much success. One of his godbrothers, he gone to England, and one of the lords in England had a lord system and told him to him, "I want to become a Brahmin. Can you make me a Brahmin?" He said, "Yes, I can make you a Brahmin. But you have to follow these rules." You know, then I don't want to be a Brahmin. So Prabhupada, at a young age, had joined Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. Mahatma Gandhi also had a youth group in which students would study and boycott exams, boycott everything British. You know, Prabhupada was very active. Prabhupada was very active in the student movement. Prabhupada had a friend. Not a deep, close friend. And that friend, to There's a very special sadhu here in Calcutta. I want you to come and meet that sadhu. Prabhupada said, I met so many sadhus. I'm not impressed with any of them. I don't want to meet anyone. But his friend said, but this sadhu is different. He's not like the others. He's a genuine sadhu. And in Prabhupada's words, he virtually dragged Prabhupada to see Bhakti Siddhanta Ji. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji saw Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was a self-realized soul, staunch brahmachari. He would never even rest his back against the wall. If I feel like without looking in the mirror ever. And he wrote hundreds of books, very educated. If you read Bhakti Siddhanta Ji's presentation of the Dharma Samhita, even if your mother tongue is English, you have to consult. You'll have to consult the dictionary after every two lines. His English was so difficult. Even Americans don't understand it easily. He was a very great scholar. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur met Prabhupada in Calcutta. And in the very first meeting, he could see that here is a man, young man, who can take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western country. Lord Chaitanya's teachings, especially sublime, for his age. In previous ages, the process of self-realization was more difficult. For example, in Satya Yuga, the process was meditation on the Lord, and people's lifespan would be 100,000 years, and they would meditate up to 50,000-60,000 years. Then came Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, the process was very elaborate yajnas, in which you needed pure brahmanas. And these brahmanas would ignite fire, not with a matchbox or a cigarette lighter. They would ignite fire just by chanting mantras. And the yajna would start. And there was pure ingredients like butter, milk, etc. This was the process in Treta Yuga. Of course, today this process is not practical. Where will you get brahmanas who can ignite fire? Some jadugar may be able to do it. Fire, chanting mantras. And who can afford all these pure ingredients? Where are the poorest people are surviving? Forget the question of elaborate yajnas every day. And in places like America, you would probably not be allowed. If you did a fire yajna in your house, the neighbors would call the police. So that's really not practical in this age. Then came Dwapara Yuga. In Treta Yuga, the lifespan gets reduced to 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, the lifespan gets reduced to 1,000 years. And the process was very elaborate worship of the Lord. And people would come to worship the Lord. They would bring expensive gifts, gold, silver. That too is not practical in this age. First of all, people can't afford it. Secondly, if they could afford it, the thieves would become very active. As it is said, the thieves are pretty active in the Indian temples. So then, the Lord Chaitanya knew meditation won't work and yajnas won't work, elaborate gifts won't work. Lord Chaitanya gave the simple process. chanting the holy name. And this chanting the holy name is there in the scriptures also. For example, Parikshit Maharaj, when he asked Shukadeva Swami, how will people in Kali Yuga be saved? Because the nature of the devotee is, he's compassionate and he desires everyone's spiritual prosperity. Shukadeva Swami said, Kali Yuga is here, Rajarajan. Kali Yuga is no doubt in the ocean of white. But there is one benediction in this age, that is the chanting of the holy name. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to popularize the chanting of the holy name. Now he was the Supreme Lord. He appeared in the role of a devotee, teaching us how to perform devotional service. Prabhupada gives an example. Just like sometimes a teacher holds the hands of the student and teaches the student how to write. That doesn't mean the teacher becomes the student. The teacher is teaching how to write. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the role of a devotee, taught us how to engage in devotional service. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he saw Prabhupada for the first time, very eager to speak. Here's a young man who has the potential to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prediction. So he told Prabhupada, you're an educated young man, you speak very good English, why did he take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and go to the Western country? This was in 1921. Prabhupada at that time was very active in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. The Prabhupada said, first we should make our country, India, independent. Then people will listen to us. Otherwise, who will listen to us? The Bhaktisiddhanta explained, real independence is independence from the cycle of birth and death. Not political independence, not economic independence. And Prabhupada felt defeated. And Prabhupada took these instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta to heart. At that time, Prabhupada was in a situation where he could not fully devote to his guru's order. But the seed was planted. Just like the seed of Krishna consciousness gets planted in your heart, and then you water the seed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Pramide Kuno Bhagavanati, Guru Krishna Kripa Bhai Bhakti Ladabhi. After going through many, many, many thousands of births, we don't realize that. You receive the seed of bhakti, and that seed grows by the watering process. So Prabhupada took his instructions to heart, and he was constantly trying to preach. Prabhupada in 1944 started Bhaktigarden magazine. In 1932, Prabhupada was in Bombay, and he held the Gaudiya Math, they opened the Bombay temple. Bhaktisiddhanta Ji had come to Bombay to install the D-Leaf. And the sannyasis who helped establish the temple for Bhaktisiddhanta Ji. Abhay Babu has helped us very actively in opening the temple. We should make him the president of the Bombay branch. Now, let him stay where he is. And in 1935, Prabhupada had gone to Radhakot to meet his Guru Maharaj. At that time, Bhaktisiddhanta was taking a big delegation of devotees on Braj Mandapuri. So Bhaktisiddhanta, when he saw Prabhupada, he took a paper and pencil. He drew a picture of a mridanga and he told Prabhupada, if Krishna gives him facilities, print and distribute books, and this is called the why is it called Brihad Mridanga? And only in mridanga sound it travels to a point. Of course, why is it called Brihad Mridanga? He's a book distributor. That's what I'm asking him. You can distribute a book in Atlanta to someone, but you may read it in Australia. You can have the best sound system. How far will it travel? Two kilometers. But certainly you don't have a sound system that you speak in Atlanta and somebody hears in Australia. I know the Russian devotee. He was a sailor in a Russian ship. So the ship went to Australia. And when they got to the port, they go and the sailors go and walk. Then he was touring Sydney. One Hare Krishna devotee gave him a book. He took a book. Then the ship sailed from Australia to England. And the way he took the books, he read the books. He got really fascinated. When he came to England, he was looking for his own temple. He went to the temple and took some more books. And then when the ship sailed from London to Moscow, he read the books. He was so convinced that when he reached Moscow, he decided, this is it! He's going to give his life to Krishna. So the book was purchased in London with a sound recorder in Moscow. Once, many years ago, when the movement was just starting, a devotee had gone to Africa, to an African country to preach. So there, when they were preaching, two or three young Africans came and said, we know what you're talking about. He said, how? We've just come to preach in your country. They said, we bought the books in London when we were studying there, and now we are preaching in this country. And there was a pile of books. So Bhakti Siddhanta drew a picture from mridanga and said, if Krishna gives you strength, Krishna distributes books. And Prabhupada took his mission to the top. In 1936, weeks before Bhakti Sinanidhi left the planet, I believe he left the planet in Jagannath Puri in 1936 December. Few weeks before, Prabhupada wrote what they said and inquired. He said, you have so many sannyasi disciples who are rendering such nice service to you. I have not done much for you. What can I do for you? And Bhakti Siddhanta Ji replied, said exactly what he said in 1921. You're an educated young man. Preach Lord Chaitanya's message to the Western country. So Prabhupada took this to heart, and he was all those many things. How do you fulfill this desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvita? So Prabhupada started his Bhakti Garden magazine. That was not a magazine in the format you see today. That was a more simple format, like a tabloid. And Prabhupada would write great talkative articles. I told you there was Prabhupada was preaching to important personality in India, requesting him to take interest in Krishna consciousness. The important personality said, "Swamiji, you don't know how busy I am. I have no time, sorry, no time." Next day, he had a heart attack. And he died. The Prabhupada wrote an article called, "Sorry, no time." And that article explained how people get illusion to think they have no time for spiritual life without understanding that the end will come at any moment. We don't think like that. We have all taken it for granted. I have a special deal with Yamra. Yamra doesn't make any special deal with anyone. But we all think, I have a special deal with Yamra. He's not going to strike me till he gets my permission. But that's not me. That's not the reality. And Prabhupada wrote another article called Liquid Beauty. And we're also attracted to this material body. If someone tells you how handsome you look, you feel bad. If someone tells you how beautiful you look, you feel bad. Then someone tells you how old or ugly you look, you feel humiliated. So, our life is centered around decorating a body. That's like Prabhupada once said, decorating a dead body. As you probably know, in the Western culture, you decorate dead bodies. You know, you see all these funeral homes everywhere. You know what these funeral homes do? After the person dies, they bring the body there. But then they do makeup on the body. And something to do with so much, you kind of recognize what is that great of that body is. So we're all focusing our life on this body. The Prabhupada wrote an article called The Liquid Beauty. In that article he said, there were very charming friends who was attracted to a very beautiful lady who was very spiritual. The lady was always chanting the holy name. So the young prince proposed to her. And she said, "Okay, I'll meet you after 2 weeks." But the lady wanted to impress upon the prince that what he's getting attracted to is not the real beauty in the individual. The real beauty in us is the presence of the soul. You may have a very handsome man, a very beautiful lady, but it appears beautiful only as long as the soul is there. The moment the soul leaves the body is no value. So 2 weeks later, the prince showed up at the appointed time, and what a beautiful devotee girl had done. She took a lot of laxatives. Whatever came out, she stored it in buckets. And in 2 weeks' time, she became so skinny that she was hardly to be recognized. So 2 weeks later, the prince showed up at the appropriate place. And he couldn't find any beautiful girl. He asked the girl who was standing, "Have you seen that beautiful girl here? Any beautiful girl?" "Is that the same girl?" "Yeah." "What happened? 2 weeks ago you looked so beautiful. Where is that beauty gone?" She said, "I've stored the beauty for you." And she took. So Prabhupada wrote this article to show how we get illusion and get attracted to something that is false. So Prabhupada was writing these Bhakti Nanda articles And then Prabhupada established the League of Devotees in Jhansi. And finally Prabhupada moved on to Radha Dama Temple in Vrindavan. At that time, Prabhupada had a room in Vrindavan Temple and a smaller typewriter that he was pressing tight with his fingers. More typewriter. And Prabhupada was a one-man army. He would translate the books. He would translate the books in Vrindavan. Change the tonga or a riksha to Mathura. Take a third-class train, third-class compartment. Take it. Travel to Delhi. Then take a cycle riksha and go to the printing place, Shibiwara. And then when his books were printed, he would go and distribute the books. One day, when Prabhupada was distributing the books in Baroda, in Delhi, he almost had a sunstroke. But then as soon as he came to consciousness, he again resumed his distribution books. So Prabhupada started the preaching. He had finished printing Poise Get the Part 3. Poise he printed first came the part 1, then 2 and 3. Have any of you seen the original books that Prabhupada printed in India before he went to the West? Oh, okay. So after he printed the first came to part 3, Prabhupada fell. Now I'm ready to go to the West. That was the Guru's order. And he was constantly meditating. How can I go to the West? Normally, due to long relationship with Britain, what Indian would look forward to going to England as a first endeavor. But Prabhupada was thinking about America. He was meditating. How should I go to New York? Why Japan? Why Europe? Which way did I go there? That was his constant meditation. And Baba was thinking, how can I get this facility to go? Brahma had a friend, not a close friend, a man in Mathura called Gopal Agarwal. Mr. Agarwal. This Mr. Agarwal was a businessman who had a son called Gopal Agarwal who was staying in Butler, Pennsylvania. Butler, Pennsylvania is a small town, probably living in Atlanta. I doubt if you've heard of it. And he was working over there. And he had an American wife called Sally Agarwal. So this Mr. Agarwal was complaining to Prabhupada, my son went to America to become an engineer. And he got married to an American girl. So Prabhupada said, "Why your son is in America? Can he get me an invitation to come there? I want to go there and spread Lord Chaitanya's movement." Prabhupada didn't realize that Mr. Agarwal would take it very seriously. And Mr. Agarwal in the past had asked his son to sponsor trips of sadhus who never really went. So Agarwal wrote to his son, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami wants to come to America to spread Lord Chaitanya's teaching. All of you know how tough it is to come to America with all the people who are in India. knowledge of you. So, Prabhupada's friend's son, Gopala Agarwal, took it very seriously. And within 3 months, he got a special letter from the Indian embassy in New York saying a visa may be issued. So he got a letter saying that Mr. Agarwal is any responsible for Prabhupada's expenses in America. So with that letter, Prabhupada got a passport. But in those days, there was another obstacle. Any Indian leaving India had to get a T-form. Remember the T-form? They were probably before your days. The T-form meant this man leaving India has no financial debt in India. So Prabhupada got his passport. I'm not sure, okay. And Prabhupada had to get his P-form clearance. When he went for P-form clearance to the State Bank of India, the man said, Swamiji, that invitation you have from America is not valid. That invitation is only for general people, not for sadhus. You want to go there to preach religion, so you need a new type of sponsorship. The Prabhupada was shocked. He told the man, let me see your boss. Prabhupada was always fearless. His boss's name was Mr. Rao. So Prabhupada went to Mr. Rao's office. And Mr. Rao said, Swamiji, don't worry, I've done your work. So Prabhupada told him, he from fearless. And then he got his passport. And then he got a 3 month visa for America. So I was given to America on a 3 month visa. And we got a 3 month visa. But now the problem was, how to get to America? You got a sponsorship, you got a passport, you got a visa. He brought some people to sponsor him. But they said, Swamiji, this is too expensive. Then someone told him that there's a pious lady called Srimati Murarji who has trips going to America and she may want to help. And Prabhupada had met her earlier and she had assisted Prabhupada in printing First Canto, Part 3 of the Bhagavatam. And she used to make Prabhupada read the Bhagavatam to her. So, someone told Prabhupada she had ships flying to America. And Prabhupada went to see her in her office in Bombay. And her secretary said, she's very busy, she won't be able to see you. But Prabhupada was an assistant. And her secretary said, that Swami, will you help publish a book? He's come back from Vrindavan. Now we want you to send him to America. So Srimati Maharaji said, tell that Swami, this is not the age to go to America. 70-year-old man will go to America. Anyway, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada wouldn't convince the secretary. Let me speak to Srimati Maharaji herself myself. So Prabhupada finally met Srimati Maharaji. Srimati Maharaji said, Swamiji, why didn't you stay in India and read the Bhagavatam to me? Why do you want to go to America in this old age? You'll probably die there. You know what it was. No, I have a mission. I have to fulfill my Guru's order. As I explained this morning, there are 3 categories of disciples. The best disciple is, he understands the desire of the Guru. My Guru wants me to do that. You know, if the Guru is saying anything, he does it on his own. The next best disciple is, Guru says, We do this. He does that, he does all that. And then what the Guru said is, I'm going to do what I want in any case. So the Prabhupada said, no, it's my Guru's order. So finally when she saw that Prabhupada was so determined, she said, okay, I will send you to America with another cargo ship. And a cargo ship means a ship that only for a carrying. A lot of people go on voyages now. You'll take cruises on the ship. But these are all luxury liners. And then some of them in India started doing kathas on these luxury liners. This is a cargo ship which only had one cabin for a passenger. So she gave Prabhupada a free ticket. And she was a pious lady. She showed her secretary, Mr. Chosi, to buy Prabhupada some warm clothes. The captain of the ship was Mr. Pandey. She told Mr. Pandey, look after Prabhupada, to take extra vegetables, fruits, and greens on the ship when Prabhupada was traveling. And finally, on April 13th, 1965, at exactly 9 a.m., the ship Jaladut left Calcutta, eventually reached New York, but via first Sri Lanka, then Suez Canal, then Boston, then finally New York. So Prabhupada left on the ship exactly 9 o'clock. Prabhupada reached the port by taxi at 7:30. And there was no one there on the ship. So Prabhupada took with him Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bengali copy. And Prabhupada was constantly reading. The captain of the ship was Pandey, and his wife was a very intelligent lady and an astrologer. Prabhupada was very impressed by her. And Prabhupada was young, and the astrologer had predicted he will build a house in which the whole world can live. And at the age of 70, he would leave the country. So Prabhupada was in the ship, as you probably know. How many of you have taken a voyage by ship? Some of you. I'm sure you've taken voyages in luxury liners, not in cargo ships. Anyway, Prabhupada took it as a concept, but his meditation was, and normally, when you travel by ship, you get what is called seasickness. You vomit. Prabhupada celebrated. When Prabhupada left India, he was nearly 70 years of age. Not exactly, but a few months short of 70. And he celebrated his birthday on the ship. And he celebrated generously on the ship. So he gave a lecture to the crew, Indian crew that were on the ship. On the 13th day of Prabhupada's journey, he had a heart attack, a minor one. And he had another heart attack. After two heart attacks, Prabhupada was thinking, now my mission will not be successful. I should go to America and come back to India. It was a little discouraged. But then the next day, Prabhupada had a dream in which there was a boat pulling the Jaladut up. And who was in that boat? Oh, Krishna, demigods, a ship pulling Prabhupada. And the Lord personally told Prabhupada, don't worry, your mission will be successful. That dream gave Prabhupada great assurance. We all also dream, but our dreams are not to be taken seriously. When you become a pure devotee, then your dreams have value. And then Krishna will speak to you through a dream. Otherwise you might say, I had a dream that I just stopped chatting like this. So your dreams have no value. Prabhupada finally landed in Boston. When he landed in Boston on September 17, 1965, the captain of the ship took Prabhupada the trip on a tour of Boston. And Prabhupada saw how deeply rooted the Americans were to sense enjoyment. He said, who is going to listen to my message? And he wrote a poem. Prabhupada regularly would write poems. He was also called Kavi by his colleagues. He wrote a poem in which he said, my dear Lord, you have brought me to America. But who is going to listen to your message? People here are so irritated. But then he said, but if Radharani desires, anything is possible. And I'm ready to dance to any melody you play. So Prabhupada finally reached New York on September 19th. And he went to his host. Gopal Agarwal had arranged for a taxi service to pick Prabhupada up. And Prabhupada came by bus to Butler, California. Prabhupada arrived early in the morning. And Prabhupada was staying in the house of Mrs. Agarwal. She was an American lady who had never met any South in her life. And there were two young children. Prabhupada was. She looked out to Prabhupada very nicely. They were cooking meat at home. The fridge had meat. But Prabhupada couldn't say anything. You know, he was just a guest. He had a mission ahead of him. But all the Patna, as I said, was a small town. So people started saying, who is this Indian Swami in your house, Sally? They were all phoning her and inquiring. So Sally Agarwal was smart. She gave Prabhupada a place to stay at the YMCA. There was a YMCA near her house. So she got Prabhupada's room in the YMCA. She said, I'm getting so many phone calls asking who is this Swami. I'm going to arrange a press conference. And in the press conference, everything was going to come in the paper, and everyone would see everything. So she arranged a press conference. She called all the local newspaper people. A Swami has come from India, that's what it's called. So there was a newspaper called the Butler Eagle. So the Butler Eagle published an article in which Prabhupada was pictured along with the Bhagavatam that he had printed in India. And the article said, Indian scholar arrives in America, a translator of three books. He praised Prabhupada as a scholar. That article was read by an American professor who was teaching in a college in the neighborhood. The neighborhood of Butler. And the college's name was Slippery Rock College. You know, we have these crazy names in America. You understand? Slippery Rock College. I said, I don't know the causes, so maybe we should investigate. Then the professor of the professor of philosophy, he read as an Indian Swami in Butler. He's a Sanskrit scholar. He translated the Vedas. So he phoned Mrs. Agarwal and said, I understand you have a Swami staying in your house. Can we invite him to give a lecture to our American students? And she then contacted Prabhupada. She said, Swamiji, one college professor wants you to come and address American students. Are you ready to do it? Prabhupada was super delighted. That's what he's going to America for. He's not going to America just to preach to Indians. Prabhupada, sure. The Prabhupada went and gave a lecture to the philosophy students. And after the lecture, Prabhupada would always say, any questions? And these American students asked him such challenging and submissive questions. The Prabhupada was very impressed. He decided, now I should leave Butler and go to New York. I mean, he had a 3-month visa. The moment he landed in New York, he booked a reservation to go back in 3 months. 1 month was over in Butler. He only had 2 months left and a mission ahead of him. The Prabhupada then left New York, left Butler, came to New York where he wished he had no contacts. But he had an introduction to one Dr. Mishra, who was also a Sanskrit scholar from Mishra, in a big ashram in America, New York. Dr. Mishra's body was very sick, and he gave Prabhupada a place to stay, and he liked Prabhupada's cooking. But then he saw that his students were getting attracted to Prabhupada's kirtans and Prabhupada's philosophy. Mishra was a staunch impersonalist. So he told Swami, Swamiji, you need your own ashram, not my ashram. So he moved and asked Prabhupada to leave. The Prabhupada had this struggle. For 1 year was a literal struggle. Once Prabhupada was staying in a house of a drug addict in a loft in Bowery, the Bowery. That was a drug addict drunken hangaround. And the drug addict came to beat Prabhupada in the night. And Prabhupada had to pack his bags and come on the streets of New York with his suitcase. There's 1 year was a year of intense struggle. But he never got discouraged. And then Prabhupada started preaching. He went to Tompkins Square Park. This is a park in New York. If you go to Tompkins Square Park now, have any of you been there? You see a flag there. This is where Bhaktivinoda Swami started his movement. And then Prabhupada was preaching Krishna Center from followers. He opened the first temple in New York on 2nd Avenue. And that temple, the first temple, was moved in a shop. Was previously that place was a shop. And the shop's name was Francis. The rent was $175 a month. And next to the shop, we took an apartment for Prabhupada where the rent was about $75 a month. And that apartment was Prabhupada's apartment plus Amacharya Ashram. Everybody was staying there. So there was a boutique, and they forgot, they vacated the boutique, but they forgot to down the sign. The boutique was called the Vaishnav means a gift that cannot be competed with. And what is like that title? So that was the first abode opened on July 13, 1966. Prabhupada incorporated his call. When he was incorporating his call, many suggested, call this international society for Lord Consciousness. Because they said, this is America. This is people who we attract. I was like, no, God is too vague. Krishna is more precise. So the ISKCON Society was registered in July 13, 1966. And this year we're celebrating the golden jubilee of Prabhupada's incorporation of ISKCON and opening of the Polish temple. Now there are nearly 650 temples all over the world. As the devotees in every corner of the globe. So we're very fortunate to be a part of this movement. Prabhupada gave us a real message, a real truth, a real philosophy. We should take this process seriously. Chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. Study Prabhupada's books. And associate with the devotees. The spiritual association is very necessary if we want to succeed spiritually. So this is a special year. Temples around the world are organizing different events, and we should endeavor to help expand this movement so people can come to Krishna consciousness and be happy. So Prabhupada ki jai! Hare Krishna.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit gkgoswami.com.